Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
What is the purpose of the church? Just think of that for a moment. What's the purpose of the church? What's the purpose of the body of Christ? And really the reason for that is so that we can reach the lost. Jesus, or the scripture says that you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so what that means is that if you're here today and God has rescued you from sin and death, which means that you are saved, now God wants to flow through you, I say through us, to reach other people that have not given their life to Christ. Amen? That's the reason for the church. We come and we fellowship, we fish together, we walk together, but really it's so that we can reach those that have not yet given their life to Jesus Christ. And so everything that we're doing, thank you guys so much for giving towards the Grow campaign, which is helping us move to a larger location. Again, we needed that for our children's ministry, but in the midst of us moving, we will not and cannot forget about there are some people out there that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. There are family members we have. There's neighbors. There's co-workers. There's people that we don't even know. They have yet to surrender their life unto Christ. And so the reason why we really come together on Sundays is so that we can fellowship, we can connect with God, we can develop in the Word, but it's so that we can go back out and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. That's it, right? John 3:16, right? If you know it, if you know John 3:16, can y'all say it with me? We'll try to use the King James Version. For God so loved the what? The world, that he gave his only, that whosoever shall not, but have. And so John 3:17 says, for the Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So if God has rescued you, let's be vessels for God so that he can rescue somebody else. Amen. Amen. That's the reason. And if you're here today, you're kind of like, well, what did God rescue me from? Can I just say it this way? Hell. For God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. So that means that if I don't have everlasting or eternal life, that means I have everlasting or eternal damnation, which is separation from God. And so I think every once in a while, I just want to get up here. I'm not going to be talking about that in my preach sermon, but everything that we do hinges on what Jesus did for us. And so even if I get up here and I preach a message from the book of Proverbs, it's like we cannot forget that the reason why we do what we do, or we are who we are, is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? And so that song, I love the song that you guys, both of those two songs that you were singing as well. Number one, Because He Lives, that touches me so much. In my singing days, but I used to sing with a men's choir, man, and we had this one guy, he was singing the lead of that, and he had a real high-pitched voice. Boy, but when he sang, boy, we up there, us men be crying, we were, because he, Tina, I know y'all might remember our men's choir, you know, but then the other song that y'all sang as well. Yeah, like why would I make my bed in the grave when Jesus has called every one of us by name. Same way that he said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus called him. Do you remember the day that he called you? Or the season of your life? Now think of that. And there's someone else that has yet to receive that call or respond to that call. And so what we do is so that the lost may come to Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything that we do. And so that includes our move to Robinson. It's just more space so that more people can give their life to Christ. That's what it's all about. I know we want space for our children, But we want our children to have space so that they can come to the point where they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as well. That's what it's about. People are dying at a very fast rate. And it's our responsibility as the body of Jesus Christ to ensure that they hear the gospel. Amen. So if we've heard it, can we share it? And if, I say, if we don't know John 3:16, memorize it. Even if it's in the NIV, plain version of it, whatever it is, know it so that we can reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Are y'all excited to be here today? Yes. Amen. All right. So if you've been here with us for a little bit, we're diving into this area of the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. So we're going to go a little deep today. If you were here last week, I started it off. So here I go again. Let me scan the room. All right. Because I said that we, for a moment of the message, we were going to talk about sexual intimacy and just wanted to make sure that we were good there with young people. Some parents may be like, they need to hear that. You know, I want them to hear from the Word of God, but want to be sensitive to that as well. I think today we are going to make it through it, so let me go ahead and jump into the scripture. So if you guys will follow me here, this is where we're going. So we read the scripture last week, and I underlined this word here to bring emphasis, the word practices. It says, now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which means total irresponsibility or lack of self-control. They are idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice, again, I underlined that, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's just walk through this. So to inherit the kingdom of God, so that last verse says, those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. To inherit the kingdom of God is to live our lives according to God's way. And so really, there is no way for us to be able to inherit or walk in the kingdom of God if we are practicing that whole list of things that we just listed, right? So that makes sense. Here I go again. What side is the good side? I'm sorry. I'm just playing. She raised her hand. You know, so, but the bottom line is that if the Holy Spirit is trying to lead me to do the things that aligns with God's way, which is kingdom of God. If you think of kingdom of God, you know, we talk about kingdom of heaven being a place, kingdom of God being God's way of doing things. If the Holy Spirit is trying to lead me to a place of God's way, but on purpose, I'm over here practicing things of the flesh, I can't inherit or walk in God's way because I'm walking in this way. Is that straightforward, very simple? These two things are going head to head with one another. So there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that says this, either be what, hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, it says, I'll spit you out my mouth, right? And so either we're this way or that way, right? And there is this war that goes on within us. And why is there a war? Because the Holy Spirit desires so much for us to do things God's way. But our carnal nature or our flesh so much wants to do things our way. And so those who practice or on purpose do these things, talked about it last week, cannot inherit or walk in God's way of doing because I've made up my mind that I'm going to do it another way. Amen. So that's kind of the foundation of where we are going with this. So, all right. So here we are. Y'all ready? Buckle your seatbelt as we go into the works of the flesh. I said this last week, there's many people that talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I've talked about it before, but I believe that we don't appreciate the work that the Holy Spirit is doing within us unless we talk about the works of the flesh, right? So it's like, you know, like the kids, it's a little too deep to start talking about the works of the flesh. Y'all parents can talk about that with your kids at home, all right? You know, and maybe some of the lessons in a certain way we can talk about it. So we don't talk about the works of the flesh right now with the young people up here, because they may have some questions that we just don't have enough time to answer, right? Or I may be putting you as parents in an interesting place. But we talk to them about the fruit of the Spirit. So our children may get very excited about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. But what I want us to get excited about is, man, the Holy Spirit is working in us so that we don't do the works of the flesh. Like, we are not living this life as believers on our own. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in us, trying to produce something through us that aligns with God's kingdom. Y'all catch that? So the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, as a believer of Jesus Christ, is constantly working in us so that he can produce in and through us something that aligns with God's kingdom. And if we want to blame it on the enemy, let's go ahead and do that. So the enemy is trying to produce something in and through us that aligns with his kingdom. So if I'm living my life according to the kingdom, let's just call it the kingdom of darkness, I can't be a witness for God's kingdom because I'm hanging out in this kingdom. Y'all get that? But what we're familiar with is before many of us gave our life to Christ, we were, I shouldn't say many of us, all of us, we were born into sin, right? So we were born sinners. So guess who we belong to? A lot of people are like, I ain't belong to the devil. Who you belong to then? You didn't belong to God. We were not born into righteousness. We were born into what? Sin, because of what Adam and Eve did. So when sin entered into the world through one man named Adam, all who were born into sin. So what does that mean? That when we were born, we were literally born. So what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned? They got kicked where? Out. Separated from God. And so that means that every person born is born in sin. Scripture says, shaped in iniquity, separated from God. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he brings us back into relationship with God. So that means that for the, I know for some of y'all, y'all gave your life to Christ when y'all was like 2 years old, right? So you're like, for 2 years, I belong to the devil. Well, I didn't. I didn't give my life to Christ until I was about 19 years old. So what that means is all of that time that I was living my life, the reality is I belong to the devil. Because I didn't belong to God. Now, even though I was made in the image and likeness of God, I was apart from him because I was born into sin. My bloodline of my father, like all of us, filled with sin. But the bloodline of Jesus, come on, because how many of you know Joseph was just there, but who was Jesus' father? God. Mary became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So that means Jesus was not born into sin because he didn't have sin in his blood. So Jesus was born righteous. So that is the reason why Jesus could die for us and take our place and we could receive him. And now we are the righteousness of God. Because he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So for the period of time that we were formed in our mother's womb, we were released into this earth until the time that we were surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. We did not belong to God. And last week, I think we prayed for young people praying blessings over them. But that was not that young person until that young person opens up their mouth and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. However it is that they receive it. Until then, that child, as beautiful as they are, they don't belong to God. And this is the reason why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important for us to preach. Because it's not about just being a beautiful, good, wonderful person. It's not. Every single person in this world, when they are born into sin. And it is Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection that gives us the ability to be rescued from sin and death. And not just so when I die, I can go to heaven. That's a huge part of it. But it's so that when I live my life here on this earth, I can be led by the Holy Spirit so that the kingdom of God can be manifested through my life. Amen. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He ushered in a whole new movement into the earth. And now he is saying, I want you to live a life out. But if we live our life according to the practices of the works of the flesh, we are literally operating against the kingdom of God. So now we become a stumbling block to what it is that God wants to do. So God is literally, imagine this. Imagine my life. That I was doing something that is just, I always pull out the one, fits of anger. I'm just mad at everybody. I use that one a lot. But I'm a Christian. And I say that I'm, some of y'all may have heard this before. If you have, can you say it with me? I'm saved. Sanctified. He said not solved. I like that one. That's a new one. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I say that there, but I got a T-shirt, I got it on my bumper, and then, I get out the car, and I got fits of anger and all that, and the person is looking at my T-shirt, and they're like, wow, you're a believer of Jesus Christ, but you got fits of anger. I don't want nothing to do with your kingdom. They may not say that, but I don't want nothing to do with your God's way. I'm just going to go up on a mountain and meditate and smoke some stuff, and I'll have better peace than you have than as a Christian. But we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that every day of our life is saying, go this way, do this way, meditate on this. It's trying to lead and guide us. But when we on purpose just practice our life according to the flesh, that's in opposition to God's way of doing things, we decrease our witness to the world. So then they look at us and they just kind of like, why would I want what you have? I don't want God's way through you. I'll find God somewhere else. Small g. I'll find God somewhere else because it must not be working too good for you because you still got fits of anger. And I'm using fits of anger because I don't think nobody in this room has that as something that they're wrestling with. I believe, unless y'all walk out of here kicking stuff around. But see, fits of anger mean that even in this space, if you got angry, you wouldn't be able to control it. You wouldn't want to control it. So that's the reason why I'm saying I don't believe anybody in here has that. Like, I'm just mad. Like, for no reason. And I'm just going to show that I'm mad. So the reason why we need to align our lives to God's way of doing, kingdom of God, God's way of doing, kingdom of God, God's way of doing, kingdom of God, God's way of operating. Think like that. Kingdom of God. So our entire life before we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we were learning the enemy's way of doing things. And some of us were practicing the way the enemy does things while we were also in church. And some of us were doing things in church, but we're still following the ways of the enemy. So now I'm used to doing the ways of the enemy. So now I'm a Christian. And now God is saying, don't do that. But I'm like, I'm so used to doing that. Like, that's the way that I used to do it. And now God is saying, but I want you to do it another way. And I don't want you to just do it another way so that, you know, you can just look like you're a Christian. I want you to do it another way so that the Holy Spirit can move through your life. Other people can see the work that God is doing and they can come to God. That's what it's about. That God's way of doing things consumes our life so much that other people want to come to God. That's the scripture, isn't it? That they may see what? Our good works and glorify our Father that is in heaven. Amen. So the Holy Spirit wants to consume our life. And from that comes these fruits popping out of that relationship. And the fruit goes against the works of the flesh. The fruit is produced. The flesh works. And that's one of the reasons why we say it's not a, so I'm not Come on, love. Come on, love. Ah, you're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to pull a muscle. Come on, kindness. And some of us, we start beating ourselves up. I'm trying to be kind. Stop trying so hard to produce what only the Holy Spirit can produce in you, in and through you. I'm trying to be a good person. Stop. Just yield your life to God and let the Holy Spirit produce that. Well, I don't know what that's going to feel like. That's it. That's it. Because it's a new life. Remember Nicodemus, how can a man enter into his mother's womb again when Jesus was saying that you must be born again? That means that I am literally born into a new life. Amen. That means that the life that I've been living up to this point, when I give my life to Jesus Christ, it's a completely different life. Amen. And God has to teach me how to live all over again, how to walk, how to talk, everything. Amen. Man. And the fruit goes beyond my personality. Well, you better yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, this is just the way that I was raised. By who? And the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to use your personality of who you are, but I want the fruit of the Spirit to be produced through that. But if I say, well, I just can't love the way God loves because of whatever, I am stopping the Holy Spirit from producing in my life. Could you imagine if God said, I love the world, but man, some of these people down here, I'm going to love about 70% of them because I can't stand to go over 70. So I'm going to hold back because I feel like if I love over 70, then I'm going to exhaust all my resources and I won't have nothing left for me. Could you imagine if God said that? But have you ever said that? Have you ever said, I cannot love to that degree because if I love like that, God, they might hurt me like somebody did years ago. And that is a sign that we have got to spend time with God and let him heal us in certain areas so that the fruit can flow through it. Let the Holy Spirit toil the grounds of our heart, turn over that hard soil so that the fruit can come forward. Think of this right now. Whatever fruit is popping in your head, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, long suffering, whatever it is, and think, is your mind right now saying, I can't do that all the time? That's your flesh. Are we perfect? Nope. But what do? In our imperfection, I yield myself unto God and I say, Lord, whoever you want me to be, produce it in and through me. God, I don't want to keep holding back your Holy Spirit from being so awesome in and through me based upon my own ideologies or how far I think I can go. I want to be who you want me to be, God. Man, what a cry that is. God, I want to be who you want me to be and not who it is that I think I'm supposed to be. We put limits on who it is that we are in God. Have you ever said this? I know I have. I've come a mighty long way. And it's true, isn't it? And it's like, praise God. But how many of us be like, I'm good for the next 5 years? Because if you knew me before Christ, you would realize that I came a mighty long way. So I have a right to take a break now. And God is saying, are you kidding me? You're only 5% there or whatever it is that I want you to be. Do you realize how expansive God wants to be in our life? But at times we, if I can put it this way, we kind of put a cap on it and says, all right, that's enough. Man. And it's like the oil, the woman, right? Remember the prophet came, Elijah, And he said, find some jars. And the oil was flowing and flowing. And the oil did not stop. But the oil only stopped because she ran out of jars. And that is a sign to us that God will continue to keep trying to transform our lives until we say, okay, that's enough, God. And because he is God, he won't force change on us. So if we say, stop, I'm good right here. I'm better than my father was. I'm better than my mom was. I'm better than the person that hurt me was. I'm better than that person. At least I'm not like them any longer. And sometimes that's our standard. And God is saying, don't make people your standard. His kingdom is our standard. The kingdom of God is the standard for the people of God. And you know what? And if somebody asks you, how do you measure that? I don't know. You know why? Because it's eternal. Amen. So that means that I never stop working on who I am in God because I don't know what the limit is for my life. There's no blueprint. There's no picture. There's no painting in front that will say, if I can reach that level, I arrived. There is no arrival in God. Because he is eternal, there is no beginning and there is no end. So if he doesn't have a beginning or an end, why am I stopping? Why am I saying that I have made it as far as I could? According to who? Our flesh. And so if you're here today, what is that standard that you may have in your mind? Is it your dad? Is it your mom? Is it a person? Is it a community? Is it a concept? And God is saying today, break that. Just break it. And do you know how challenging it is for people of the flesh to not know what I'm supposed to end up as? What does success look like in the kingdom of God? Well, number one, it starts here. That when I leave here and I've taken my last breath, I will be with God. But then here on the earth, what does success look like? And we look for that. Please show me what I'm supposed to be. And the greatest resemblance that we have is Jesus Christ. How was he? And immediately sometimes we'll say, well, he walked on water. I can't do that. Come on back. Come on back. He said, I only say what I hear the Father saying, only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus was so consumed with doing what God wanted him to do that, yeah, at times it caused him to kick over and knock over tables and things. Yes, at times it caused him to speak to people that other people said that you shouldn't be talking to. Yes, it led him to the point where he was in the garden and his sweat was like drops of blood. Yes, it led him to the place of that old rugged cross. Yes. It led him to the place to say, God, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yes, it led him to the place where he was raised from the dead. Jesus just kept going. And even the Bible says, even now, he is interceding on our behalf. So for us, where are we and where is God calling us to be? Man. And every time something pulls you back, check it. Is that the Holy Spirit because I'm not ready yet? Or is that my flesh saying, you ain't ready? Who's holding you back from just being the person that God wants you to be? Who's holding you back? Is it the Holy Spirit that's saying, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You're not quite ready for that next level yet. Let's work on some things. Or is it our flesh? Immediately keep saying, no, 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 stop. And have you noticed, I haven't said, is it the devil talking? And it may be, but what's holding us back? Amen? So somebody said, yes, he's not going to make it to sexual immorality. I'm just going to walk through this because I want to move next week to the fruit of the Spirit. So this is one of the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality. What does that word look like? Porneia. Looks like pornography, doesn't it? It ties into that. So sexual immorality, again, these are the practices of the flesh, are all forms of sexual activity that's outside the covenant of marriage. Just think of that. All forms of sexual activity that's outside the covenant of marriage. It is also a selling off or surrendering of sexual purity. That means that when I engage in any activity outside, sexual activity outside the covenant of marriage, marriage covenant, I'm literally selling off my sexual purity. It is the thought of being a prostitute. I am devaluing who I am because in God, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when I go out and do something that's outside the covenant of marriage, I'm literally devaluing who I am in God. Amen? Are you following that? And it's selling off. So I'm literally devaluing who I am and selling it, selling myself. And that word, if you look deeper into that, that phrase of selling off, it is, I am prostituting my sexual purity. Wow. Anything outside the covenant of marriage. 1 Corinthians, we're not going to look at it. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20 talks about how my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and that I was purchased. Actually, let's look at that real quick. So you can say, well, I never saw the scripture, so it don't mean too much to me. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Am I therefore to take the members of Christ and make them part of a prostitute? Certainly not. Verse 16 says this. Do you not know the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall be one flesh. Just to kind of talk about this for a moment. The two shall become one flesh. Come on. And you notice in Genesis 2:24, it's talking about the husband and wife. So you mean to tell me that if I have sexual relations with someone outside the covenant of marriage, even that activity is the two becoming one? Because the activity in this is for the covenant of marriage. But just because I'm stepping outside the covenant of marriage don't mean the promise of two becoming one has dropped. Just let that sink in for a moment. So before some of our lives in Christ, we entered into a lot of two becoming one. It is a promise. Let me go back to this verse for a moment. Do you not know that the one who joins himself or herself to a prostitute, which means that I'm devaluing my sexual purity, is one body with her? For he, who is he? Jesus says, the two shall become one flesh. I just want that to sink in for a moment. But sexual immorality is any activity outside the covenant of marriage. So that means anything that I am doing that I should be doing in my marriage, but I'm not doing it either because I'm not married or I am married and I'm doing it outside of it. When I do that, whether it's virtually, whatever it is, it can be through text, it can be written, it can be visual, it can be physical. When I do that, I'm becoming one with whatever it is I'm engaging with. Woo-wee. And then we wonder why, when I do enter the covenant of marriage, why I feel like there are all these other people with me. Because I have become one with a lot of folks. Whether physical or virtual. Because what we don't realize is the power of unity when we come together. And you can say, well, it was, this is the reason why I was like, no kids in here. It was just like that. Well, do you realize that even just like that caused you to become one with that person? Amen. This is Bible. And not only is it in Genesis 2:24, before the fall, that God says this with Adam and Eve, Jesus even repeats it again. And so the verse when it's saying that he said, it's talking about Jesus when he repeated the scripture. Amen? So not only am I devaluing myself because I'm made in the image and likeness of God. So when I'm doing this, I'm bringing who I am in a lesser value because I'm doing it outside the covenant of marriage, but also I'm entangling myself with someone else at the same time. And this is the reason why for many of us, is when the Holy Spirit is trying to lead and guide down certain ways, the flesh is saying no. Well, you know what? The Bible says, and the two shall become what? One flesh. So is it just my flesh that's saying, I don't want to do this? Or is it somebody else's flesh that's entangled up in me? Can you imagine that someone that I've been with has experienced trauma, and now I've become one with them, and I think that I'm dealing with my own trauma, but the trauma that I'm dealing with is my trauma and the trauma of the person that I became one with? And guess what? I don't even want to be with them like that. Woo! Verse 17. Listen, but the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. He says, do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body, physical, with that person? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But then it goes on to verse 17 and says, but the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when we give our life to Christ, we are one spirit with God, but we are not one flesh with God. This flesh still got to be worked out and trained and equipped to be able to do the things that being one spirit with God is called to. Jesus, I pray that y'all are hearing this. So I'm one spirit with God because I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I am one with God. One with God. The Holy Spirit and me, we are wrapped up and we are in love with one another. But my flesh is hanging out here saying, so what's going on? We with a new partner now? They trying to tell us to do what? Okay, and so now we read the Bible, we pray, we fellowship, we fast, we do all these things so that my flesh can be renewed to align up with the one spirit that I am with God. But when I neglect equipping and training and getting my flesh into discipline, my flesh is just, can I use this word, wilding out? And the Holy Spirit is over here in whom I've been joined with saying, get yourself under control. But when I go back here, it is possible. See, we talk about generational things, but look at the stuff that is lining up potentially in our life. Not only do I have, I'm just, you know, scenario. Not only do I have the tendencies of my father, then I got the things that I indulged in. And then because I did sexual immorality, anything outside the covenant of marriage, now I'm dealing with somebody else's fleshly stuff as well. No wonder I'm angry. No wonder I don't trust. No wonder I don't want nobody to touch me and look at me because I got all this stuff. But when I give my life to Christ, I have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me that is ready to help me break loose from all of that fleshly stuff. But sometimes the grip is so strong that it's not just a breaking, it is a loosing. And for many, when we are loosed from whatever it is that the flesh indulges in, now we need healing in that area. Because the reality is that that took up space in my life. And if it's not there, I need something to fill it. And that's where God is saying, that's where I was supposed to be anyway. I wanted to be your comforter. I wanted to be your lover. I wanted to be your protector. I wanted to be your all in all. But that empty space creates brokenness. And this is the reason why Jesus, remember the woman was brought before Jesus? They said she was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus stoops down and writes in the sand. He said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they looked up, everybody was gone. Jesus said, you know, where are they now? He says, what? Go and sin no more. He says, Jesus forgave her, redeemed her in that moment. Now he says, now you got to go walk this out. You got to now live your life not doing that. But because you already committed adultery, now you became one flesh with the person that you were in that, if it's true, that adulterous relationship with. So now healing has to take place in your life. Talking about the woman in that story. Wow, man. So I'm joined one with God in spirit. Verse 18 says this. So therefore, here's good advice. Run away from sexual immorality in any form. Here it is. Whether thought, behavior. Here it is. Because somebody says, well, that's not sexual immorality if I'm watching some crazy stuff online. Visual. Jesus said it this way. He said, you know, you once heard that if a man committed adultery, it's a sin against God. He says, but if you just look at a woman in a lustful way, you already sinned against God in your heart. Good God Almighty. It made you feel like, Lord Jesus, just take me away. Because now it's not just you caught me, it's he caught me. Where it may look like I ain't doing that, but it's actually happening. Whew. This is the reason why we need Jesus, who has covered or taken, paid for all of our sins, whether it's in word, action, thought, or deed. Woo. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Good Lord. Listen to this. Whether visual or written. What? Have you ever heard of sexting or what do they call it? That texting thing? So he's saying sexual immorality written. What? Hold on. So you mean to tell me that I can write something in our third days, text something, type something that will even be outside the covenant of sexual marriage? Whew. This would call somebody, but like, how do I run out of the sanctuary without them feeling as if I'm feeling some kind of way? Look at this part. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. So this is deep. So I can do all these different things. Think of the types of sins that we talk about, fits of anger, all those different things, right? Rage, all of that. But when I do sexual immorality, it is against my own body. I mean, I think y'all know the obvious reason, right? Because all of me is involved in it. All of me. It's not outside. It's literally premeditated, inner work, and physically involved. Whew. Okay, it's a little bit further. Verse 19. Do you not know, I quote this a lot, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you? This is for the believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, whom you have received as a gift from God. Listen to this. And that you are not your own property. What? Oh, Lord. See, it's like we know that, but do we know that? Like, I'm not my own because I was bought with a price. Jesus gave his entire life for me in exchange He became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. So God is literally saying, it's not just your spirit that belongs to me, but your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, all of you belong to me. Because Jesus died a total life. Like, he didn't just die spiritually. He, the complete man, died. And spiritually was separated from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? So, what should I wear today? Well, God, this body belongs to you. What should I wear? Right? What should I look at visually? Well, God, this body belongs to you. What should I look at? God, who should I be texting? Well, God, this body belongs to you. Who should I be texting? Every area, we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We now belong wholly, whole to God. Man. I belong to God before I belong to my wife. And for some of us, I think we probably got it flipped. I belong to my spouse, and then it's God. Your spouse did not die for you. I belong to my children, your kids. I belong to my job, your job. I belong wholly, nothing missing, to God. And if I'm holding back parts of my life, that might be the reason why certain parts of my life is acting out, because I haven't yet surrendered that to God. God, I'm yours spiritually. One day I will meet you in heaven. But how about my mind? You know what, God, my mind? Because you know what? In one instant, I could lose my mind. Who is it that is keeping my mind together? It's God. Have you ever been through something that said, I should have lost my mind a long time ago? Who kept us? I should be dead and gone. Who kept us? And why? Why? Because he says, you belong to me. And this is not some like, yeah, you belong to me. And no, he's saying that I've redeemed you from sin and death. I love you so much that you belong to me. Now, let's live life together completely. I want all of you. All. And we sing that song, I Surrender. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. Bottom line, so then honor and glorify God with your body. Praise God. Woo-hoo. Ah. We made it through that scripture. And you know what? That's only one works of the flesh. But it's the most outrageous one, because it's not what I did there, it's what I'm doing here. And what I do here impacts communities, households, cultures. What I do in this area of sexual morality shifts things for generations to come. You know this? You know this. It disrupts households and communities. It brings leaders down that were at high heights. You know this. This area of sexual morality is big, and it causes people to lose trust in many. And if not careful, even God. Amen. Y'all don't know how I wrestled to share. I was like, our sweet Purpose Church people? Oh, come on. And I'm not saying that to say that anyone here is doing this. What I'm saying is, God, why would I have to preach that and stay there? Why? I don't know. But all I know, we're here. It may be you witnessing to someone else. It might be that area of one flesh that you're like, so that's why every once in a while I act crazy. Have I been loosed from that person or persons that I became one flesh with a long time ago? Whew. Jesus is able to bring healing in every area of our life. And you gotta believe that. You have to believe that. Because if you don't, then you won't surrender certain parts to him. You'll think he can heal that area, but ain't no way he can heal me of all that. Yes, he can. He died on the cross, a gruesome death for everything that we would ever go through in our life. And he loves every single one of us so much. He does. He does. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.